Amen. Go with me to 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, and we got some things to really cover today, because guess what? This is the hub. How many of y'all know what the hub is? What's at the hub? The center of what?
Life.
The center of your wheel on your car goes out, what happens? What about your radio? Does it work? It might, but your car doesn't function as it's designed to function. There are some center issues in life. And where you square up with Jesus is the difference in your eternal experience. Ann Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham, in my opinion, wrote one of the more fantastic books of the last 10 years, Give Me Jesus. I want to be centered on Jesus. It all rises with Jesus or it falls with Jesus. Here's where my faith is. I don't know where yours is. Jesus is either the greatest, most amazing God that ever lived, or this is the biggest hoax that's ever been given to humanity. It's one or the other. There's nothing in between. What do you think? People ask me occasionally why I'm so intense. And I said, I don't know. Hell, heaven, eternal life, eternal death. These are things that cause you to be a little intense in life. What do you think? Our faith is not about gathering and just saying nice things to one another. How many of y'all got that here at Hillview? I want y'all to know you, but how many of y'all got some sharp spiritual eyes? I just want y'all to listen now. Some of y'all are getting mesmerized by the TV. You get mesmerized, and here's why you get mesmerized by the TV. The TV ministry, here's why you get mesmerized. How many times do they tell you what you want to hear? How many times do they tell you what you want to hear? I love people that tell me what I want to hear, whether it's right or wrong. How many of y'all are like that? I mean, if you're telling me what I want to hear, that's why. Watch this. I know that car salesman needs to sell me a car. How do they do that, or how does she do that? Have you noticed how when you go to the car lot, you never look bad in any vehicle you like? You know, you got a 5'2" dude hopping up in a Hummer. Oh, man, this looks just like you. It does not. Huh? We like hearing what we want to hear, what we want to be about. And I want to just give you a grid. I've been watching certain ministries that seem to be exploding right now. I watched one for 10 weeks in a row. I've not heard about a cross. I've not heard about a resurrection. I've not heard about repentance. And I've not heard the name Jesus very often. I've heard a lot about my potential. I've heard a lot of sweet stories. And I've heard the power of positive thinking. If that worked, we don't need Jesus. Is everybody kind of with me? If this is all religion was, we get in a big arena and we pep each other up and we sing some jazzy songs and we tell each other some good things. If that was salvific, Dr. Earl, Jesus could have skipped the whole cross and resurrection thing. We can get in a frenzy by ourselves. Huh? What do you think, Larry? But we cannot get in the movement toward heaven without a divine moment. Now look what it says in Peter. Is Jesus, kind of do a check here, do a radar check on your life moment here. Is Jesus the center of your life's movement? Now think about that, man, before you answer quickly, because you're in church and what are you supposed to say? Yes, absolutely. Well, if he is, let me ask you a question. Are we really loving? Are we really peaceful? Do we see a sense of joy? Do we have a sense of destiny? Do we know that all things are impossible because all things are possible and nothing is impossible, because Christ is going to move us through anything? When Christ becomes the center of our journey, everything becomes possible. Now, note how I said that. I didn't say you're possible. I said what? He is possible, and if He is in you, then what does that make you? Possible. How many of y'all glad to know that you're absolutely going to be in heaven because Jesus made that possible? Now see, there's the center. What happens when one gives their life to Christ? Everything changes. Now let's look. This man named Jesus is where the trouble starts. How many of y'all found that to be true? I can stand up in a public arena where many people are gathered and I can say, Almighty God, O supreme power, O possible creator of the first millisecond that created the Big Bang and universal nice God who makes people smile and who loves people. And I, man, if I get up there in the ooh and goo, guess what? I got all the religions doing what? We're just kumbaya, whatever's up there, kumbaya. And we're all holding hands, drinking Coke, and the world is in perfect harmony, right? Hold on, I'm giving you what's going on in the 21st century. I've seen it happen right here in America. I saw it in 2001 after 9/11. The way we're going to solve the problem is we're all just going to hold hands and be friends, and it's all going to go away. Well, let me ask you a question. If something that simple worked, don't you think we humans would have thought about that a long time ago, a couple millenniums ago? But apparently there's a distinct problem. Without Jesus Christ, I naturally navigate toward hell. What do you think? If God doesn't interrupt my destiny leans toward hell. Well, let me ask you a question. Without Jesus interrupting you, who do you glorify? We've got some honest people here at 8 o'clock. Without Jesus Christ interrupting me, I basically care about my stuff and who I like. What about you guys? Huh? And to the hell with the rest of you. Isn't that really our attitude? Without a divine interruption. Now, with a divine interruption, I start caring about folk that I don't even know. I mean, I'm like, why do I have a concern for Costa Rica? I can't speak Spanish. And I went to Costa Rica and I preached and I was in another country. I'm in another environment. You know, man, they're jumping up and down. They speak like, and I'm going, they are talking about somebody. How many of y'all like being in a place where you can't understand what they're talking about? Well, that's the way northern people feel when they come to our congregation. You know, we got people from Minnesota, and somebody goes, "Ah, well, I'm going to go down the road here and out." And they're going, "What did they say?" And we had to go, "They said you guys are going down the road now for peace." We have to learn each other, but all of a sudden we begin to care about what we didn't care about. Let me show you why. Go to 1 Peter now. Now, get y'all with this? We got to decide what we're going to do with Jesus. Here's the good news, because Jesus has already decided what he's going to do about us. I just really want to help y'all. Jesus doesn't need any help. He did a pretty good thing. He got crucified and he got back up. Anybody else pull that trick? How many of y'all go to the doctor and go, "Hey, doc, don't worry about it, man. You slip up, no problem. I'll be off the gurney in 3 days. Ease up." I look at the doctor and go, "Are you good? Home life well? Feeling balanced?" How many times have you cut into people and done this surgery? These are things I want to know. You know, I don't feel really good when I see a guy who goes, whipping his scalpel going, "Hey, you're my first." But do you realize for every surgeon, they got to have a what? First, just like every preacher's got to have a first congregation. And bless that congregation. Huh? God brings him through. I'm concerned, but Jesus said, "You know what? Death is not an issue because I am life." Now let's see what he says. You ready? It's all centered on Jesus Christ. Are y'all getting that? It's about Jesus. There's a chorus, there's a song that says, "We've made it about so many things other than who? Jesus." Well, Peter brings it down. And you know what? When the turf gets hot, it becomes about Jesus. You know what's interesting to me? I didn't hear anybody singing any Allah songs on 9/11. I didn't hear anybody holding hands going, "Amazing Allah, how great the pillars." That's true. Why ain't anybody saying that? I didn't hear anybody when the heat came down, sitting there with their arms crossed and their legs crossed, trying to center themselves and find the way of the Buddha. Isn't it interesting that instinctively human beings in the moment of crisis begin to cry the name who? Jesus. Oh, Jesus! Wonder why it is. Softly and tenderly, He's calling you. Come, come. You know, isn't that cool here? It's the new age of electronic preaching. Look at here. Go to 1 Peter and he begins to say, see, 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 see. I don't think a lot of us see. Let's see. See, I lay a stone where? In Zion. In the midst of the people of God, I lay something more powerful. He laid it in Zion. That's the Jewish folk. He said, in the midst of my promised people, I'm going to center the greatest promise of all. What the law, the Ten Commandments, were powerless to do, I, in Jesus Christ, am making that complete. I'm going to give you a final crossing of the Red Sea. I'm going to put you in the Holy of Holies. I'm going to give you the supreme Ark of the Covenant, and I will become the mercy seat. See. See. Y'all didn't know I knew all that Old Testament stuff, did you? Some of y'all have been trying to teach it to me. That was my major. Old Testament theologies and how they affect and are completed in Jesus Christ. Some of y'all got off on Beth Moore's temple study a few years ago and thought that was new information. Ready? If you want to know the temple, then see what He's laid in Zion. If you want to know about spiritual gifts, see what He's laid in Zion. If you want to know about the full potential of humanity, see what He's laid in Zion. If you want to know the power of the Holy Spirit, see what's been laid where? Come on. In Zion. Look, He said, see, I lay in Zion this, a chosen and precious stone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now, it's a specific kind of stone. What kind of stone? A cornerstone. Do I have any builders in here? Brad James, you build stuff. Mr. Tharp, you build stuff. Do you have to have a cornerstone? What starts the building has to be stronger than the rest of the building. Is my architectural design at least well enough there? A cornerstone. Here's what he's saying. Everything will be built in Jesus. See, I lay a stone, a precious stone, a chosen stone. Who was chosen? Jesus. How are you chosen? You're chosen too, but how are you chosen? Come on, work with me. It's 8 o'clock. Through Jesus. How many of y'all glad to be chosen? Look at your neighbor and say, I've been picked. Come on, go ahead and tell them I've been picked. See, all your life you wanted to be picked, and now you've been picked. Now how you feel? How many of y'all did that? How many of y'all did that? You know, some of you, I know you were like this. In school, you had the right answer. What were you doing? Yeah. Like in a classroom of 25, you can't see a kid 5 feet away. Huh? How many of y'all did this? How many of y'all just, instead of being ooh, ooh, ooh people, were blurters? You just blurted out the answer. That's what I did. If I had the right answer, I blurted it out. And that made every kid that was, you know, trying to behave so mad, especially if it was the right answer. Now, I didn't always get the right answer. The problem with being a blurter is you can blurt out the wrong answer full-blown. Then everybody's looking at you like, you are really one of the kids that lack here in the classroom. You know, you got to be careful with being a blurter. Well, he said, see, I lay a cornerstone. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. How many of y'all glad to know? Here's what Jesus is saying. If you will trust me, you can trust me all the way into heaven. Now let's think about this. I just want to bring out some implications. If we trust Jesus to do His thing, how many of you all trust Jesus with your marriage? You trust Jesus with your personal life? You trust Jesus with your job, your career, your selection? Yeah, parents! Listen, if you really want a parent, I don't know anything about it yet, okay? I'll start preaching on parenting when Clacy's 27. Then I can tell you if I did it right. Right now, I'm still in the process. I wouldn't tell you a thing other than this. I do believe it's a good idea to turn your children over to Jesus. Here's what I found. I mess up as a parent.
Any of y'all parents ever messed up? Now, be careful. You got some public school teachers in this room, and you're going to confess to them that you've really messed up. Because all they hear is y'all how perfect y'all are, and then they have to kind of stay with your perfect children for 8 hours a day. And it ain't as perfect as y'all got it made out to be in your mind. See, my mom and dad were pretty much of a reality. They knew that I was created as a human being. They knew that I had choice, and they were fully aware that I made a lot of bad ones. And so when they went to see the teacher, they assumed I did it. Automatically. It was an injustice. But it helped. Because guess what? It wasn't a bad bet. 99% of the time, I did it. And I ought to have gone ahead and been punished for the 1% of the time that I didn't do it because I probably thought about doing it and didn't get to it yet. You got to know who you are. He said, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a precious cornerstone, a chosen cornerstone, a stone made by God, a stone that will build the universe, a stone that is everything. And he said, the one who believes in what? And trusts in that stone will never be put to what?
Shame.
How many of y'all are glad that we shouldn't be shameful people? That I'm tired of seeing this in Christians or people that follow Jesus. Well, I'm a follower of Christ. But don't dislike me. You know what? I could care less if the world dislikes me. I mean, what is so impressive about the world? They're going to make a lot of money and go to hell. There's life without Jesus. You make a lot of money and go to hell. You get an RV and go to hell. Get a big yacht down in Key West. Get to drive around, smoke some good cigars, Cuban cigars. Die and go to hell. Got some nice stuff in your garage. You die and go to hell. You've been a nice guy. You've been a Kiwani and a Rotary and a Mason and a whatever. Whatever group you belong to. Die and go to hell. Been a UK fan. Guess where that'll get you? Guess where it'll get you? It ain't going to get you very far in a tournament. And it won't get you to what? Heaven, that's what I'm trying to say. This cornerstone takes us into eternity, and I really think we need to get rid of shame in the body of Christ. I'm talking about the whole, I'm not talking about just our church, I'm talking about every church. We need to quit being shameful people. What's the opposite of being a shameful person is being a hopeful person. Our sins are gone. Why? We have trusted who? Jesus. How many of y'all believe Jesus do what he says? What is it? I'm going to tell you what I found. Y'all help me out here. Jesus is the only person I find that doesn't lie. How many of y'all found? Everybody else kind of. Now, I know I'm in church. I'm not supposed to say lie. In fact, in our house, I remember we were supposed to say story. I tell Mom, I said, Mama, so-and-so lied. No, son, they told a story. Well, let me tell you what they told. A lying story. That's what it was, Mama. It was a lying story. She wanted me to be nice, you know. A lying story. How many of y'all had that one? You're not supposed to say lies, honey. You're supposed to say stories. Well, that fibs. Oh, Mark, see, he was raised there to be nice. Fibs. And then, for some reason, we have lies down in some kind of color code. Like there's some difference between a white lie and a black lie. I like Mark Twain's version of lying, but I will not quote him, but he's right. It's all just a lie. It's a breach. It's not trustworthy. How many of y'all found that sometimes you won't be trustworthy? Like, for instance, when I go buy something, I don't ever give Elizabeth the exact price. How many of you men do this? I believe in kind of rounding the situation. I know Freddie Hampton does. Freddie go buy a gun, it's about $500, which means it's $999. See, that's true. That's an about, and about is an interpretation, right, Shirley? He's done that to you, hadn't he?
Amen.
Freddie, get to the altar. I'm telling you. Gosh. He's done that to you, man. Please, guests, I don't pick on anybody that I don't know. Freddie's been here for a long time. In fact, when we came to this church, Freddie was in the back, sitting back here waiting for people to come, and he's been here forever. And so we pick on him. But watch. Watch. What do you trust in? I'm going to trust in the Lord. Why? The Lord won't be put to shame. So if I'm in the Lord, we won't be put to what?
Shame.
Now he goes on. He said, now you got to be careful. Where you stand with Jesus makes the determination. Now you probably don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. How many of y'all want to hear it? You want me to just stop now? See, right now everybody feels good, right? If I believe in Jesus, man, I'm not going to be put to shame. My life's going to order up, and I got potential in Christ. All things are possible to me through who? So I just really, if I was good, I'd end the sermon right here. And everybody'd go, jeepers, man, I got potential. He goes on, though. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. For all of us who believe in Jesus, man, we get it. It's a precious stone. I want you to know, though, not everybody believes Jesus is it. How many of y'all got that down? And he says, now to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. See what I'm talking about? Now, there's a difference in a cornerstone and a capstone. The capstone signifies where you died. See, we'll all die on the cross, whether you want to or not. It all dies on the cross. Everybody follow me here. You're either going to die unforgiven on that cross, or you're going to die forgiven on that cross. When you die in Christ, you die forgiven, and there is no more shame. When you go to the cross on your own merit, your own skill, your own ability, your own ACT score or SAT score, when you go there by yourself, you'll never have enough to get through it. But when you go to that cross, you say, wait a minute, I know Jesus, the one who was crucified for my sin. Guess what? The cross says, come on through. When you come there with your own good works, that cross says, not enough. So what was possible became capped. Now this is why I have this impelling urgency to tell people about Jesus. It looks like to me that pretty clearly in Scripture, everybody doesn't get to go to heaven just because they were born in America. Does that seem that way to you all right here? That just because, watch this, just because you go to church a couple times doesn't mean you get into the kingdom of heaven. But now let me really show you the good news. It sounds like God wants us to go to heaven. What do you think? See, I lay a stone. Who laid the stone? God laid the stone. Who sent Jesus? The Father who created us. Who wants us in heaven? God Himself. It seems to me that if you're going to go to the trouble, dying on a cross, you're pretty committed to getting people to heaven. What do you think? And so there's this sense, come on. But it's not cheap. It cost Jesus everything. And as we follow Jesus, look what He says. And a rock that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message which they were also destined for. Now note there, it does not say they were predestined for it. Well, I got everybody quiet, didn't it? Didn't say they were predestined for it. It says that's what they were destined for. Guess what? That is not a complex verse. You are destined for hell without a divine interruption. See, that's where we get real confused in America because we go, oh, I've been good. I mean, I gave 50 cents one time to the Girl Scouts. I bought some tag-alongs. I do not cuss on Sunday unless the ball games run that afternoon and I'm way behind in the bracket like Mark Elias. See what I'm saying? Like Jeff Reynolds is. It's not about our goodness, it's about God's greatness. How many of y'all got that down? It's not about our goodness. And you say, well, Eric, why do you preach on this so much? Why do we spend so much time trying to live in our goodness? Don't tell me not to preach on it until we could quit trying to get to heaven on it. Can you imagine, watch this, we could look at God and say, God, we got a church totally built on trust. We're still trust with a little good works thrown in, aren't we? We're still, well, let me help you, Lord. How many of y'all want to help God? How many of y'all want to help God? I do it all the time. How many of y'all help God? How many of y'all pray like this? Now, Lord, I know this is what we need to do. Huh? Now, God, if we got quiet and listened, I wonder what we'd hear. You'll never be put to shame if you trust me. Trust who? Jesus. Now I want you to see who you are. Have I got that accomplished? Does everybody understand this? Is Jesus the center of it? Look, just give me some run back here. Who leads to salvation? Who goes to heaven? Jesus, absolutely. Somebody said that. I like that. Jesus goes to heaven. Who goes with him? Which we's? Those who believe in him, those who trust in him, those who accepted the rock. What about people that say, Jesus is a bunch of bunk? Huh? What do you think? Do they just evaporate over there in seminary? What do you think? Come on, I'm taking a survey. 50% of evangelicals don't believe in there's a hell. They don't believe there's a hell anymore. I mean, you can't preach hell or you'll lose offering. You know, the church is there to make sure everybody feels good. Yeah, didn't y'all read that in the Bible? Yeah, really, the surveys are out of the religious institutions. Surveys, 50%, 56% of evangelicals, that's people who say they believe the Bible, don't believe there's a hell. Well, if I didn't believe there was a hell and we were all just going to morph up there, you know, and just go up there and kind of all dissipate out, let's go play golf. Why do this gig anyway? There's a real difference between those who follow Christ and those who don't follow Christ. Have you seen that? And here's one of the big differences. We are a people of God. A people of God are different than a people that are not of God. Does that make sense? And he's going to give us some instructions. He's going to give us some instructions. Pretty cool instructions. Are you ready? He says, but you, he pauses. They stumble, they fall, they end up what they were destined for. Okay? Watch this. You say, well, what about them being disobedient? Most of us are destined for disobedience. Watch here, I'll show you. How many of you all taught your 2-year-old a lie? How many of y'all sat your 2-year-old down and said, no, I'll tell you what, this is the way you lie? How many of you dads said, now this is the way you con your mama? How many of y'all found your children figured out how to con their mama all on their own? Daughters automatically know how to get by dad. How many of y'all found that out? It's inside of them. Nobody, I don't think Elizabeth sat down and said, now listen, if you do 3 eye bats and 1 tear, you'll get the sucker. Let's go. This is the technique I use. I never heard them strategize, although they might do it. How many of y'all find out we do these things all by ourselves? Huh? 2 years old, it all starts. I've told y'all this story before, but I never will forget it. Clacy, little 2-year-old, maybe 2.5. She loved Oreo double stuffed cookies. And we said, do not eat them what? Go on, y'all are all parents. Before supper. I don't know how many said she got in a cookie jar. Now watch. How do you hide a double-stuffed Oreo? When you're 2. Where's the Oreo going to be? I mean, she got an Oreo up in her hair. She got it running out her ears. She's got it everywhere. I looked her right in the eye and I said, Clayson Camille, did you eat a cookie? No. Now, isn't that the way we come before God? God said, did you do it? No. And it's all over us. I remember one time, I'm not going to tell you who, but one of our lovely members, they were like, they saw me on a Monday, and they go like, man, that was incredible service Sunday. I said, really? I said, what, did you listen to the tape? And they go, you knew I wasn't there? I said, yeah. See, that was when people thought Hillview was large enough that the pastor couldn't see. And it's like, man, I'll sneak in the back. They'll never know I'm there. Watch this. Here's what I learned a long time ago. Somebody always knows what's going on. Young people, you better hear me. Y'all think your parents don't know where that car's been parked? They do. To this day, I don't know who ratted me out for skipping school. To this day of my life. But I skipped school one time. I thought I was in the clear. 2 days after skipping school, my dad came in and he said, you skipped school? They saw you up in Glasgow. You're grounded for life. What's for supper, Mom? To this day, I don't know who ratted me out, but guess what I learned? No matter where you are, somebody knows who you are. And they're going to know that you're a follower of God. Listen, one of the greatest witnesses we have, guess where it is on Sundays? Restaurants. Restaurants know the church people are coming, and here's what's so sad. They're not excited about it. I think that Sunday ought to be the most joyful day for people that work in the restaurant. I think we ought to do better than the drunks on Saturday night. What do you think? I mean, now think about it. This is a bad witness. Those who are getting tanked on Saturday night are much more enjoyable than those who've just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, quote, quote, on Sunday morning. No wonder people are confused. You know? The drunks tip, the church people cheat. We're going to give them a quarter. I mean, Lord, we only gave Jesus 50 cents. Huh? And people go, man, these are some cheap people. Of course, when you get tanked, you know, you get happy. Oh, you did such a good job tonight. Here's $100. Then you get home and go, oh, I've been put to shame. So that stuff does. But you've been chosen. And I just want to go over this real quick. What ought to happen to you since you've been chosen? All right? You're a royal priesthood. Don't forget it. You're a people that have been marked by God. Be different. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. Who do you need to be praising for what you got going on? Jesus. I am different because Jesus has changed me. Now, you won't blow somebody. Don't get religiously hokey. You know, if you lay them out a good tip, you want to be a great witness. Here's what they go, man, that's a nice tip. Well, that's from Jesus. You see, Jesus changed my life, and because He changed my life, I got a better job, and because I got a better job, and I got a better attitude, and I got better possibilities, because I got chosen, I got blessed, and now I can pass it on. So really, who gave you this tip is Jesus. That'll give them something to think about all day. See, we think witnessing is always opening a track, looking at somebody going, Marsha, if you died in the next 5 seconds, would you go to heaven or hell? Romans tells us it all, have sinned and fallen short of the goal. Well, people are just going, these people are weird. In the Bible, never once it says, you are weird people. It says, you're a chosen people. Chosen by God because you decided to believe what Jesus said, and that makes you different. You're a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Let's be a people, amen? That's what I hear, that be a people that make a difference and show the world Jesus. Amen. Well, how do you do that? He goes on. Once you were not a people. How many of y'all noticed when you were not really following Jesus, you just do your own thing? Yep. Even with Jesus, what's the temptation? Yes. Do your own thing and go to heaven, right? I've just described the majority of the evangelical church. I'm going to do it my way. I got my ticket into heaven. It's Disney World. Everything's cool. Now, you can believe that when you never read the New Testament. Because the New Testament talks about being a people of God, a holy nation. Now, let me really clear this up. Everybody who believes in Jesus is on the team. Is that cool? He'll view. I want you to always be this way. You've been really good about it. It does not matter what church people go to. It matters what God they serve. If somebody's following Jesus Christ, believes He died on the cross, believes He's risen from the grave, believes He's the only way into heaven, and has received His divine faith activity in their life of forgiveness, they my brother or sister. Okay? If they're worshiping a higher power and His name's not Jesus, they're not in my family. Pastor Ayers, that's arrogant and judgmental. See, I lay a stone in Zion. If you believe in that stone, then you're on that team. If you don't believe in that stone, you're not on that team. Even if you're nice. Even if you have wonderful ideas. Even if you're brilliant. Even if you get the cure to cancer. Because there's only one cure for eternity. That we believe who follows Jesus. What? Jesus. And he goes on, he said, now what's our job? To declare Jesus. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you've not received mercy, but now you've received what? Mercy. I want to touch on that real quick. Here's what I've learned in life. When you got to mess up in grace. When you got to mess up in grace. I learned this by talking to preacher friends of mine that have retired out. And I love hanging out with them. I love talking to them. And I said, all right, bro. So you've been through 45 years of ministry. Give me the top two things. One of my preacher buddies looked at me and he said, Pastor, he said, I want to tell you one thing. I have a couple of regrets along the way. And he said, and it's where I did not err on the side of grace. I would rather err on the side of grace, even if the grace person abuses it. What do you think? Why would I say such? Which way did Jesus err on? I mean, there are people after Jesus died on the cross, they still acted like pagans. But what did Jesus go ahead and do? Gave grace. Y'all been really good about that at Hillview. You really have. I want you to keep it up. I want to encourage that. Err on the side of what? Every time. Now, that doesn't mean you get to go on and on doing the same stupid thing over and over again, but it means what? One time you get an opportunity to do what? Make things right when you mess up. How many of y'all found that when you help people get better, they get better than just kind of slamming on them, beating up on them, and telling them how they can't do stuff? Yeah, you don't quit smoking by somebody saying, quit. It doesn't happen. Come on, be honest, it doesn't happen, does it? How many of y'all have ever tried to needle somebody into the right way? Fuss at them. All they do is ignore you after a while. The way you get better, man, is you become a chosen person. You become part of the people. You have the reality of God's activity. And you go on and look what he says. He says, friends, be merciful. And then verse 11, I'm going to end here. Dear friends, I like that. How many of y'all like that? Dear friends. Try it out on your neighbor. Dear friends. Dear friends. Come on. Dear friends. Dear friend from West Palm Beach. How are you doing, man? No hurricanes up here, brother. Tornadoes. We all got our stuff. Huh? Hailstorms. And a beautiful weather selection anytime during the week. Amen? Last week it was 95 here. Next week it'll be 20. It's just great, right? That's why we all wear all kinds of different kinds of clothes at the same time. Yeah, it's kind of wild here, but it's a great place to live. Look, this is a better place to live. Live in the family of God. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Now, why is he putting a refrain from sin? Why does he tell us to stay away from sinful desires? Okay, it will kill you. Thank you. That's very good. What else? What's our objective? To declare the praises of him who has saved us. Can we declare praises and be driven by sinful desire at the same time? Here's the problem with sinful desires. How many of y'all found it? How many of y'all have ever had a sinful desire? Okay, other than your pastor. The rest of you, y'all just go home and sleep the next Sunday, right? I mean, you stay away from the big bad world. I mean, how many of y'all have sinful desires? Yeah. In the world, what does the world do with sinful desires? How many of y'all ever been in New York City? Anybody here ever been in New York City? Times Square? What is in Times Square? But as soon as you walk into Times Square, what's it saying? Sizzle. They ain't got an ugly woman billboard up there anywhere on Times Square. You notice that? Hot women. Building size hot women. Selling soup. Campbell's. You're going, whoa, that's some serious soup. Now, what's that there to do? Come on, what's that there to do? Entice your what? Sinful desires. Because what's the devil know? If I can get in my desires, what do I begin to leave out of my life? Huh? Jesus' desire. Yeah. Yeah. He says, just stay away from those sinful desires. He says, stay out of them. I don't know about y'all, but I need y'all to stay out of sinful desires. We need to come together as a people, amen? How many of y'all find this? If you're doing it with somebody together, if you're doing things together, it does help some. We like to sin together. Have you noticed that? Huh? For some reason, we think there's a discount going to hell bulk rate. You know what I'm saying? I never went out and raised Cain by myself. I always took a partner. How many of y'all were like that? And really, here's what I was saying. Come on, let's go to hell tonight. And we raised it. Huh? How many of y'all always take a partner with you when you're doing something wrong? Because sometimes it feels better, doesn't it? Where do y'all think that started? The Garden of Eden. Is that right? Eve didn't sit there and go, I did it. She got Adam in it too. Do you know what I'm saying? He's standing there. Here he is.
See, people bust on Eve all the time. Adam's a dummy. He is the dummy in that story. That's why his name, Adam. He's the dummy.
Amen.
He's chauvinist preachers up there talking about, well, Adam stood. Adam, I mean, stupid. Well, see, I could have been Adam. Here's the only move he had to make, and everything had been changed. Lord, she did it. I ain't doing it. She did it. Because guess what? At that moment, Adam could have pointed his finger. He was still without sin. He could have gone, she's been talking to snakes. She messed up. No. Here's how dumb he is. I mean, she didn't go, what do you think about the apple? And she was without clothes. I will give him that. That does change the situation for the guy. But he just goes easy. You know what I mean? It's just like she goes, here, and he goes, home. And typical man, like all of us, as soon as God kind of started strolling through the garden that evening, what did Adam do? See how early this started. Lord, this would have never happened if you hadn't created her. How many of you men ever use that line? I use it every week. Honey, you don't understand. The reason I'm upset is not that I'm upset. It's what you do that caused me to upset. If you wouldn't do it, then I wouldn't be upset. How many of y'all have used that one? And the truth is, I'm upset because I want to be upset and I want to find somebody to make me upset. What am I yielding to? Sinful desire and blocking out the possibility of declaring what? God's glory. I got to finish up. We got to get to the bottom. James, Dr. Ward, we're going to get to the bottom. You ready? He said this, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, even when you do good stuff, what are the non-believers going to do? They're going to tell you you're doing wrong, but don't be wrong. Is that cool? How many of y'all realize this? If you just stay in a good relationship with people, be respectful, don't bend. If you do that long enough, they got to see some validity in your stance. Let Jesus change you. Don't let what surrounds you change you. Does that make sense, Jeff? I mean, up at the hospital. Man, I was so proud of one of our members. Can I tell a quick one of our member stories? This young lady came to Hillview as a girl, met Jesus Christ, but in a real way. And she had she was working in a hospital, and she was declaring the praises of the Lord, just like a holy people is supposed to do. Well, finally, somebody said, where do you go to church anyway? She said the dreaded word. She said, I go to Hillview. And she goes, well, we're your competition. And she said, you know, Ayers, how you kind of pop off about things? She said, sometimes I remember those little smart aleck comments you make. And she goes, really? You work at Tattletales? Now that sounds a lot better coming from some little cute, sweet girl. You know, because she knows she did it real holy like, oh, really? You work at Tattletales? See, Tattletales is our competition. There's no other church here that's our competition. That's like I had a brother in Rotary one time. He goes, well, I see your competition's bought 88 acres. I mean, what's Tattletales going to do with all that? Have an amusement park? See, watch this. I praise God that other churches are buying land and building buildings. I praise God when churches get full. Can I declare a little of His praises? Woodburn Baptist Church down the road, they're running about 300 plus, almost 400 in worship. Praise God. Rich Pond's getting full. Eastwood's getting full. Assembly of God is growing. That ought to excite us, not make us do this. Yes. Some of you are going, are some of our people going there? I hope so. Because some of our people do a really good job declaring the praises of God's glory. So if they went to another place and declared the praise of God's glory, guess what? Hallelujah. In fact, I got in a little bit of trouble with our Kentucky Baptist brethren the other day. They said, Ayers, are you going to the closing the back door seminar? I said, no, guys, I really can't go because I don't believe in that. I said, I don't think the back door of the church ought to be closed. I think that's one of the problems. I think it ought to be a revolving door. We ought to come and be able to come in and out of each other's facilities and begin to see a kingdom and not little square boxes all over the city.
That's when we get God's, we're chosen people. Amen? So remember that. I mean, when you sit down with somebody and they say, I'm a Lutheran. I say, really? You believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave? And you believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and life? And they go, yeah. They say, guess what? Me and you are family. How many of y'all have ever seen people find family they never had? Now, if you were up north, they do that all the time. First thing they ask you, they go, heirs. Now, what is that? They want to know your ethnic background. They want to know your family line. Well, in a real way, we ought to hunt for people's family lines. Are you and I of the same bloodline? Are we the blood of Christ? Are we from the blood of the Lamb? Do we trust the rock that what? That what? Nobody can tumble. Let me close. Y'all been good today. You ready? Can we close? Does this make any sense today? Come on, talk to me. We're all on the same team here, amen? Please, I don't want any of y'all to ever compete with another church. That's just nasty stuff. I get so tired of that. I just look at preachers. I go, we baptized 50. Praise God. Then the other preacher that's baptized two goes, we've only baptized two. I said, man, isn't that great? The score is 52 this week because we're all on the same team. Does that make sense? Guess what? I'm going to blow y'all away. Out of all the churches in Bowling Green, I just know Baptist churches real well. Out of all the Baptist churches in Bowling Green, together, out of 40-something plus churches, we've never baptized 1,000. Now you begin to see the big dream. That we would declare His praises where everybody would see the need to tell people about the stone that's been laid in Zion. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify who? God on the day He visits. Now, let me help you. I got to close. Your good deeds should not lead to your personality. They should lead to the glory of who? God. I can honestly say this, and some of y'all know me. If any good thing comes out of me, I know who it's from. I'm that aware. I'm not naturally. I don't naturally lean to making you feel better unless I can get something out of it. How many of y'all like that? Come on, be honest with yourself. Sitting there looking at me like, well, gosh, I can't believe we have such a pagan as a pastor. Believe it. Here's what made me different. There was a stone that was laid in Zion and it's changed everything. A precious stone. A chosen stone. And it brought us into a new way of life. Here's the invitation today. God has already chosen you. Will you choose, check this out, will you choose to be chosen? Will you say today, Lord Jesus, you're right, I'm not going to get there on my own. Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to truly set me in motion so I'll never be put to shame. Isn't that cool? I mean, I realize it. Never will you be put to shame because Jesus is in your life. Never. It's the promise of His Word. Maybe today you need to say, you know, I'm ready to be forgiven. I'm ready to be connected to Jesus. I'm ready for a new life. And then guess what you get? A whole new family. And you say, well, there's some crazy people in the family? Absolutely. But they're all forgiven and none of them will ever be put to shame, all right? None of them ever be put to shame. Maybe you're one of those folks that have always been left out. Well, guess what I'm telling you today? Jesus Christ doesn't want to leave you out ever, ever. And you got a chance to come in today. Are you going to receive that? Or are you going to say, well, maybe next week. Maybe a week after that. Maybe after I get out of college. Maybe when my kids leave home, then I'll square up with God. The time is now. Just shoot you straight. Time is now.